This is Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 535 in the series. This session of the radio show shares the Town Council Capital Budget Subcommittee meeting held on Wednesday, May 5, 2021. The meeting was conducted in a hybrid format. The Capital Budget Subcommittee members, town administrator, key personnel were in the council chambers. The public was remote via conference bridge, all to adhere to the social distancing requirements of this pandemic period. Quick recap, the capital budget round two was reviewed, questions answered, and vote conducted on each item along the way. At the end, there was another vote on the grand total, which effectively recorded a second vote of approval for these items. Funding of the study for the police station options was approved. Long a discussion item, now the growth of the department is forcing the issue to be raised as the space doesn't meet the needs of this current staffing or likely future staffing. Links to the meeting agenda and associated documents are included in the show notes. The recording runs around 50 minutes, so let's listen to the Capital Budget Subcommittee meeting for May.
Good evening. Tonight we are here at the Capital Budget Subcommittee meeting. This is our second time now going through this, and we will get started right away. We're going to be voting on each article here separately. We've already done it at the first hearing, but I think we'll do it for the second hearing now, just in case any of our committee members have any thoughts that they want to add that maybe they didn't do it the last time. So this is capital budget round two. And first one that we're going to be doing is the technology department, because our technology expert was not here at the last time, so we weren't able to ask any questions and he wasn't able to give us any background in that. But I'd like to call upon Jamie first.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome.
Through you to the committee. Batting leadoff tonight is Mr. Raposa. I will note there are two proposals for the technology department tonight. The first one is $153,000. Let me just give a quick overview. Good. Just so folks know, we did have the snow and ice removal. Budget has closed out. The FY21 snow removal season closed in at $1,084,506. Boy, he knew when to walk in, huh? And later on we'll talk about in the DPW there's a recommendation here to fill in the gap for the money for snow and ice, as we traditionally do, but that leaves a grand total of $765,547 for the capital round two program. And as I mentioned, Madam Chair, through the first department on the list tonight is the technology department. Two requests. The first one is for $153,972. This is for the software licensing and support for the 611 wireless access points throughout all of our municipal buildings and schools. As you all may remember, and we just did get the borrowing actually this week. I just gave Carrie and Chris the pile of signed documents. We borrowed the money to be able to install for over 10 years those wireless access points. As all of you know who have been on the council for many years, technology doesn't come without support and licensing. The reason why this is a capital request is because the town saves, if we pay up front, the town saves almost $100,000. Okay, so by paying for the 5-year software and licensing fees, we're saving the town $100,000. And secondly, we're also ensuring that those, if we didn't do this, both the town and the school department would have to put in that $250,000 into our operating budgets. So by doing it this way, we save people a tremendous amount of money in our budgets, which is a good deal for Franklin. And the second issue we did talk about very briefly at the last meeting, which was the sonic wall firewall upgrade for $65,517. And so we did hold that until tonight so that folks could ask Mr. Raposa any questions that they might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Tim, if you want to step up to the microphone. And welcome.
Tim Raposa, Director of Technology for Town and Schools.
And you can give us a background as to what your request is.
Okay, so the Sonic Wall Firewall is basically the gateway for the internet for all of the schools. During the pandemic, we ran into some bandwidth issues. That firewall was scheduled to be replaced anyway, but because of the bandwidth issues caused by the pandemic, we opted to go with a 10 gig line to solve, obviously, remote learning issues. In order to accommodate that 10 gig line, which the school funded to, you know, it's very costly, it was required to, at the original firewall was going to be less, but in order to accommodate that 10 gig line, a much more robust firewall was needed. So this is how it came to be asked for within the capital budget. It's basically the on-ramp. You can put all of the bandwidth you want. You can get all the bandwidth you want to your door, but if you don't have the right piece of hardware to manage that bandwidth and allow the traffic in and out of your network, you're not going to get the bandwidth that you're paying for. So that's what that the firewall was for.
So this goes on every 5 years, am I correct?
Nope, that's the five-year licensing is for wireless access points. Basically, the things right above your head there, those little devices all throughout the town and schools. The SonicWall firewall does have annual licensing as well. That is significant, but that will be rolled into regular operating budget. The first year, they give you included.
Has this gone up an awful lot since last year?
The annual licensing for the firewall?
Yes.
Will be much more significant than last year, than the previous firewall, because it's a much more expensive, much more robust firewall. So the licensing that we will have to worry about in 2023 will be much higher, but we know that cost is coming. So, and that's an annual cost.
Okay. And Jamie, mm-hmm. if I could ask why this isn't in the regular budget. I know you started to say something in your introduction there, but this is an ongoing rather than a particular year's event. So isn't that something that should be in their regular budget?
It would be if we didn't have an offer to save $100,000. So I think the idea that we can pay up front and be able to save $100,000 is well worth the expenditure.
But otherwise it would be just in their budgets.
Madam Chair, if for example, we weren't getting a discount for basically a bulk purchase upfront payment, you know, we would certainly work with, you know, the school department and technology to figure out how much this would be in the operating budget. But we won't need to have any of these monies in the operating budget for 5 years because we're buying it all up front.
Okay.
So, for example, actually have those numbers for annually. If now we're talking about the wireless access points, not the firewall, the annual licensing for schools would be $43,737 and for town would be $6,000. So if you multiply that by five, you'll get, about $249,000 over the 5 year cost, as opposed to a 5 year upfront purchase of $153,900, with a net savings of $95,316.
Okay. Do we have any questions, counselors?
Matt does.
Matt?
Thank you. So why are we choosing SonicWall? Have you shopped out the other vendors?
We've been using
SonicWall. I know I do this every few years. So.
Yep. We've been using SonicWall for years.
Yeah.
It's a great product. The nice thing about SonicWall is when you upgrade, we have a ton of configuration in our current SonicWall, so it moves into the next device as opposed to starting from scratch. And to be honest, there aren't a lot out there. I've had a few shop around. I get vendor calls all the time. Fortinet.
Cisco.
Cisco, way more expensive. And they come and they say, well, okay, well, we have this, blah, blah, blah. And I do my comparisons. You know, we have our chats. And a lot of districts use SonicWall. Number one, it's affordable. And number one, it's very versatile.
So what was the last price that we paid on this when we did it? What was the last renewal? Because this one's, what, 65, right?
So the device, I don't have it off the top of my head, but it's probably at least 7 years old. We got it when we got to high school.
Okay.
That was the last device that we purchased, was with the high school. And again, that was for a 1 gig line. This is for a 10 gig line. So it makes a big difference, is that piece of hardware that you put in.
Okay. Okay. And this is the 5 year contract on the wireless access point. That's from for 21 to 26, or is it 22 to 27?
That will begin. The access points are going to get installed this summer. So when they get turned on, it'll be from the point that.
So it'll be September of 21 to September of 21. August of 26.
Yep.
Not exact, but yes, I get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, cool. All right, I'm all set, Madam Chairman.
All set.
Matt asked my question, so I'm good. That's good.
You have to get together. Brian?
Through you, Madam Chairperson. Hi, Mr. Raposa.
Hello.
I just have a quick question. My end is more on the support side. So when these access points break down or anything happens, do any of your people fix them, or is it just this company?
The licensing on the access points will cover replacement if they fail. They very rarely fail. What this really is for, it's for management. So we have a piece of software that we log into, and we see all of our access points all throughout the town and schools. The ability to manage and push configurations up to those pieces of hardware, they're little computers. Think of them all, a bunch of little laptops stuck to the ceiling, really is what they are. The ability to push programs and configurations to those devices is what the license allows. If you don't have that license, they sit there and they are with the way they're configured, and you can't make any changes, and that's it. So that's really what it's about. It's about being able to manage them and manipulate them and support. Okay.
It's managing them. Does this company, what was the name of the company? New Era Technology. In your agreement, it says they have unrestricted access, the use to fix things. So who's watching when you bring them in and open up our whole access point to everything, every school, every town building? Who's watching them when they come in and do it?
Well, they never have the ability to come into our network unless we let them in through a VPN. Now the Hive manager.
You're letting them in. Right?
Yes. Now the Hive manager on the back end, which is Aerohive. Aerohive is the manufacturer, just like Dell would be the manufacturer. New Era is the reseller of Aerohive products. It's Aerohive Extreme. They just got bought by Extreme. But for all intents and purposes, it's Aerohive. Aerohive has the Hive manager, which is a program that is based up in the cloud. That's what we log into to manage these devices. So yes, can Aerohive connect to these devices and manage them? Well, they have to. They provide the software, and it's in the cloud. It's not. There's no locally based program that we can install. So yes, Aerohive does have the ability to manage those access points.
But you have to let them in initially.
Aerohive has a login, and they don't. They only come in when we call them for support. That's.
Okay,
and that's very, very similar to every piece of cloud software that we have.
Right. I'm just, not to sound a little paranoid, but I'm just, it sounds like they could get access, you know.
No, I completely get
the concern. Whether it's the school superintendent's office or Jamie's office, it just kind of seems like they could just get in and do it. I didn't know how you let them in, or you get a alert that somebody from New Era is in our system.
I completely understand the concern. Yeah. And typically systems like this will have logs that will show who logged in, why they logged in. Okay, so they put those things. For example, if I needed to do an archive request to look at your emails, I can't just go in and look at your emails. I can't do that. I have to log in as myself, and it tracks who I'm looking at and what I've done on your emails. So I don't have carte blanche either. Someone else can come behind me, find out that I went and looked at your emails. Same thing with this log. If they're in our system and something goes haywire, we can go in and look what they did in their logs.
Okay. That was so,
And most systems are built that way because of those privacy concerns.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Jim. Mm-hmm. Awesome, Madam
Chair. Thank you, Brian. Does any one of these help us now with the scam problem that we had, you know, a few months back? Are you doing anything to help correct that? from that, happening again?
That was not a technology problem. So that was basically a social engineering problem. That could have happened if technology didn't exist by a letter in the mail, that problem. The fact that it happened because it was sent via an email message is, it's inconsequential. It just happened via an email. So is there technology to prevent that from happening? Technology directly? No. Training? Yes. And we are doing, I sent the treasurer about 117 minutes of training sessions, along with assessments just recently. And she's going through them and over the course of the month. Once she completes her final assessment, it'll be sent to Jamie to prove that everything's been done.
Just to piggyback quick on that, it's not just the treasurer that we do the training for. It's town and school employee-wide. And so we've actually been doing that training for multiple years now. But obviously after the incident last year, we did throughout the entire winter, we did do the same training with all of our staff and all of the school employees. And for those that go through that training and need a little bit extra help, there's a program that Tim has created to help those individuals. So it's a fairly robust training. It's definitely the standard. It's probably the best training system on the market. We've had many people contact the town of Franklin and tell us, if you're using this software and you're using this training method, there's nothing better in the world. This is as good as it gets. So we've certainly, we've done what we can on that. Thank you.
And just as an additional bandit, I just want to throw on there, our new assistant treasurer, Carrie, actually just asked me today if she could also be thrown into there and take the exact same training that she's taking, just as a kind of a belt and suspenders type of approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good to hear.
That's good to hear.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. All set with questions then? And can I have a motion
for
the wireless access point software licensing support for 153,972?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
No, I'm sorry. Any discussion? No. Now, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. How about the Sonic Wall firewall upgrade for $65,517. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any kind of discussion on that? Further discussion, rather? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Tim, we're fine with him. Next, it's town administration, which we have gone over. And unless, let's see, Jamie, if you have something to add to this.
Nope. Very quickly, Madam Chair, on the rainy day fund policy, the Finance Committee did approve all of these requests unanimously. The one thing they did not approve is the actual policy to the rainy day fund. The Finance Committee wanted to have another meeting on this in 2 weeks. And so we are having a Finance Committee meeting on the policy. I just want to note they did approve the $137,000 appropriation to put into the rainy day fund, but they wanted to dig a little deeper. They asked me for some data, and so we're going to get that to them in a couple of weeks. So there was no rush on the policy, but we will, with this appropriation, with your support, our rainy day fund will now be at $1 million. So I think that that's a good thing.
Good thing.
I know it. Okay, counselors, any questions, concerns?
Just the animal control truck is for $20,000. And do we split that with Bellingham?
Yes, the truck's $40,000, and it's the regional agreement with Bellingham where it's a 50-50. And so the capital requests for animal control come outside of the operating budget.
Okay,
that's correct.
Awesome. And we're gonna go with the one you have in here, the Liberty Chevy. Is that the one we're going to go? So
we could have Tracy come up to the mic if you want.
No, Tracy, it's just that the total cost was almost $37,000. So So we're going to give you 20, and then Bellingham's going to give us 17. Is that what?
No, 20 and 20. I think there's some incidentals that are on the side.
Yeah, we have to put a radio in it.
That's not listed in there. Okay, I was just looking at the price, and I saw the 20. That's good. I just was curious about that. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Through you, Madam Chair. One quick question on the truck also. As Councilor DeLuca said, it's coming from Liberty Chevrolet. Mr. Town Administrator, did Bellingham did all that work?
That's correct, Councilor Chairman. Yeah, they, just for the folks listening at home really quickly, on that note, the Town of Bellingham actually is the organization that runs animal control. So they manage the staff and all that technically. We, in the agreement with the town, Franklin donated the building and space and all of that. We worked pretty collaboratively together, but Bellingham did do all the work.
Okay. I was just wondering if maybe the next truck, does it come from Franklin? Could it come from Franklin? Someone like the Vendettis that gave us $75,000 for the new playground, maybe we could buy the truck from them or?
Sure.
I'm not quite sure how that works with the state bid, but.
It goes out to bid. Yeah.
I mean, through you, Madam Chair,
Brutus?
I guess Brutus wants to have a few words. Brutus.
Actually, I know we've bought some vehicles from.
He's probably going to say what I was.
Madam Chair, there are ways, a lot of different ways to buy trucks. A lot of it's done on state bid list, which I know the Chevy is on the Liberty, which is the proof vendor. So they get competitive costs and they're a little more specialized. I can say in the past that I know Public Works, we bought a lot of vehicles from Vendetti.
Yes.
Especially, it's the price point also. I mean, they're not selling big trucks, obviously, mm-hmm. but the smaller vehicles and stuff. Used vehicles I bought through the years, we got some from Madden. Well, it used to be Franklin Ford, but Madden. We do that.
Okay.
We do solicit.
I was just saying maybe the next time, because I saw this one came from. Okay.
We'll trade.
That's what I mean.
Like a shot clock in college basketball.
Thank you again.
That's great. Absolutely.
Thank you, Councilor. I think that's a good point because I like to see things kept in town when we possibly can. And where we're combined with Bellingham, I guess I can understand your reasoning to go there and here. And Tracy, just so that you realize, every time your name is mentioned in our council meetings, Jamie has very nice things to say. He says, I'm so happy nobody ever calls me about the damn dogs. You try. Well, you're doing a good job. Thank you. Okay. Okay, any other questions or concerns? No. Then let's have a motion on rainy day fund policy, $137,000. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Any
discussion?
Discussion?
No.
No? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next is animal control truck for $20,000. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? No? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. And Munis conversion, $25,000. Motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? No? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're all set with that. Department of Public Works, roads and infrastructure, $100,147.
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. And Jamie, would you like to say something about this before we call Brutus back up again?
I think Brutus will be up here a bunch of times tonight. The next three requests, roads is pretty straightforward. Just trying to use as much as we can to get out there and do some chip sealing and some other repairs. $29,000 for the snow and ice, and then $58,000 for the highway and grounds truck was a result of the meeting you guys remember where you asked me to put that truck on here. So pretty straightforward stuff. And The man with the master plan is here.
Okay.
Madam Chair.
You've been coming to all our meetings.
No kidding.
You must love us.
He knows that.
Well, that's a top 10 director for you right there.
I've been seeing you guys a lot. But you're wonderful people. I really like it.
Because he wants money.
Yeah. True. I think the town manager said it pretty correctly. The $100-some thousand we're going to be using for more of a, you know, the maintenance type stuff, the crack sealing and chip sealing and various roads we're trying to do. We went over on the snow and ice. For the record, we had 55 inches of snow this year. A little above normal. They say Massachusetts around four. Well, it's 48 in Boston.
48. Yeah.
Yeah, we could be a little higher, but so we did that, and we spent a lot of money on salt again. I think that's, you know, that's kind of the highlights. Yeah, for that, and then the truck. I really appreciate that sincerely, because I think, you know, it was kind of, I mean, we kind of made jokes about it, but literally, I got to prepare this stuff a couple of months in advance. By the time I came before you guys, I know the truck died, and literally, you know, as we say, parked on the hill. So, you know, that's going to be a big help, and that's a vehicle used quite a bit. So, yeah, anybody's got any questions?
Very good. Questions? Councilor Chia.
Oh, no, I was pointing to...
Oh,
sorry.
You're pointing to him.
We're all trying to help you out.
And you are.
Just a quick question on not necessarily road and infrastructure, but more of the equipment. So we have the hot box that we have, right?
Correct.
And what else do we have? Two of them now?
Yes. They're very efficient.
Good idea by a counselor a long time ago.
Yeah, that's true.
What else do we need to be able to, you know, kind of fix some of these potholes? Is an infrared machine something we need? Do we have one?
An infrared machine, yeah, they're very helpful, but that's an extremely expensive piece of equipment, and it's actually cheaper to outsource it.
Okay.
So that we do have that's one of our contracts we put out every year to do that. So, but they are expensive. They're expensive to run and very.
Would you say that's the next piece of equipment, though? That would be the next step up from the hot box, or where?
That's a hard thing, because it's honestly a very expensive piece of equipment that, you know, this time of year, I know we're focused right now because we're coming in the spring thaw effect, you know, it would be used a lot. But then again, in the summertime, not so much.
No, I'd be more interested in if we purchased it, would it be something that Medway, Grantham, Norfolk, Bellingham could use for them over the summer from us, right? And kind of going in a dual role.
We've tried that before, and honestly, it leads to animosity, because, you know, we've lent them stuff, and it comes back not so good.
Okay.
And so that hasn't...
I get you.
Yeah, the finger pointing type stuff, and is... So, you know, we have... It's kind of neat.
It's
now.
It's not yours. It's easy to break it. I get it.
Correct, but we do have mutual aid. Like, we have sent our Vactor truck, like, to Medway, because they don't have it, and then I charge them for that. I charge them the rate and everything like that, the overtime. So that does work out at times.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other counselor? No? This Councilor DeLocco.
So the highway truck, did you already order this, or did you get it?
It has not officially been ordered, because you haven't appropriated the funds.
No, but I mean, you spec'd it out, though.
We did spec it out, and this is one of the ones that I believe we're taking a body off the old one. Remember I told you we started going from steel to so we can keep recycling it from the truck to truck.
Right. Good move.
I will say, I did call Vendetti about dump trucks. They can't get them. No one has them. So like a company like Liberty, or you get the big one, they get them more from the factory and everything else, I guess. But even small trucks, he has none, because we were looking for the staff truck that was approved last time. I called him up and I get quotes from him, but they got nothing. So he can't, you know, and he's getting a premium for me. Any new vehicle he gets, as much as he could discount for the town, which he has in the past, he's going to get premium from the regular market.
No, that's why. That's the reason I was saying it, Brutus, because 8 months ago I ordered a wiring harness for an F700. I just got it today.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's crazy. It's been sitting in my shop for 8 months. So I know what you're going through. That's why I said I hope you kind of at least specced it out and got the ball rolling a little bit. You know?
Yeah. the chip problem. You read about that chip thing.
Yeah.
You got all these trucks just sitting there because they're waiting for the semiconductor to come in. It's crazy.
Crazy. But okay, no, that's good.
Well said. Well said. Okay, let's go to Department of Public Works, Roads and Infrastructure, $100,147. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor, motion, sorry, I do this. Discussion? No, because we've had it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All set.
Thank you.
You're good to go, brother.
And now for snow and ice. $23,911.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? No. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Highway and grounds truck, $58,000.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? No. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Brutus, you're all set with your department, I believe. Did he leave already? Oh, no. There he is. I thought he ran out. Security, let's see, school department. Security upgrades at the JFK Elementary School, $32,000. Jamie?
Yeah. Through you, Madam Chair. I think the paragraph summarizes it all, but for the folks watching at home, this is to expand the previously approved security upgrades at JFK Elementary. This would include the installation of the interior security cameras in all common areas, such as the main foyer, gymnasium, hallway, CAF, library. I think the superintendent, assistant superintendent, is this you tonight, Lucas?
Yes, sir.
All right. So Lucas is here tonight to answer any questions.
Okay, Lucas, you want to come up and add anything to this?
Who are you? Lucas Jaguar, Assistant Superintendent. Thank you for having me. Just to add some context for the community and the council, we've been very fortunate and supported with the school security upgrades that have occurred over multiple years in all of our buildings. Some of these upgrades are still linked to an audit that took place from the Metro SWAT and the Franklin Police Department, who went around and did an audit on all of our buildings around the openings and the second door to make sure that those locked in case people were buzzed in. This is a continuation, but also when we originally thought about what we could do this year, given the amount of funds that were there, we originally wanted to do the cameras in the common areas, the hallways and those areas. But when the first round came, we thought it was most important to secure the outer doors. But then when the second round came to allow for additional funding, we thought that we could continue with our original plan. So that's just a little context for you. And we continued in this year. It made sense to focus on JFK to bring them up to speed with the rest of our elementary schools so that we continue that work.
And the rest of the elementary schools are all set.
With the double locks and the magnets and the complex schools as well.
I remember you coming before us before that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Any discussion from the council? No?
Anything to protect the kids with everything that's going around in the world. Wow. This is the best $32,000 we can spend.
This is more than needed, yeah. Right?
Thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, let's see here. School department, security upgrades at JFK Elementary School, $32,000.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion, which we've had. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? You're all set. Thank you. Facilities department, police station feasibility study, $150,000. Say, Jamie, you want to give a little overview?
Sure, Madam Chair. My apologies. Mike, I believe, did have a conflict tonight. The chief is on. Oh, there he is, right on cue. Hey, chief. So the chief and I are batting in his place. We can both speak to a pretty good level. So this quote is for a feasibility study for a new or renovated and or renovated or brand new, depends. A police station. For those of you that have been through building committees before, you know this is a very long process and a very time-consuming one, but it always ends up to be a better product in the end. I just think at this point, you know, the town has to put at least some sort of small down payment down to make sure that we keep this project up on everyone's radar. As I outline here, Mike has done a great job this year. In fact, a quick shout out to Mike, Rich, Marco, you know, the entire facility staff for doing a great job this year, getting a lot of backlogged projects done while folks were at home. But he still does have a few more on his docket here to clean up. And I do believe, Mike, by the way, at your request, is going to come in and do a presentation before the council later, I believe in June. But we just feel like this is the right time. It does take a very long time to go through a feasibility study. This is a quote we got from a company that Franklin has used many times before. As I outline here, we're looking to maybe start about, towards the end of the year or maybe early next calendar year to get a group together to start the process. I'm expecting it to at least take 12 to 18 months to go through the full feasibility. Obviously, you know, we're in a new world, so we got to kind of see how it goes here for the coming years. But the idea would be, you know, at the end, in a few years, 2 or 3 years from now, the question's going to ultimately come back to the council at some point about how to finance or if to finance a brand new police station. And I think, I know the chief, we all have our arguments why. I think if anybody who goes through the police station knows that is completely a facility that's not able to accommodate the staff that we have, as well as the future public safety of the town. So we keep saying to wait, we'll look at it a little, we'll keep saying, well, we'll wait another year. Yet our department and town are growing. And, you know, as anyone again knows who's done building projects, this is just the beginning of a very long multi-year process. And so this study should also be able to fund an analysis on potential sites as well.
That's right.
So, we could have done a little less, probably around 100 to 120, 110,000. But I think at the end of the day, we all agreed that the extra money is going to be well spent to make sure a comprehensive analysis is done throughout the town of potential sites. So, I know the school department also this year is going to be continuing with the redistricting analysis and some additional information based off the Castle Booz study that was done for facilities. We're getting new census data. And so it's just the right time to look at the demographics of the town and be able to look out 20, 30, 40 years and say, what does the town of Franklin need for a police station for the long haul? So, Chief or Madam Chair, if you're okay with it, maybe the chief could give a couple of comments if he wants.
Call on him next. Yes. Chief?
Hi, Madam Chair. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you. As Jamie said, we're looking to have a study done because we're growing beyond the capacity of the current police station. As you know, we've put on, seven new offices in the last 4.5 years. So we've gone from 46 to 53. We're obviously looking at the 5-year vision plan was to get us to the average, which is 57, 58, total officers. And of course, looking into the future and the growth of the town, what is that gonna be like and how we are, going to be able to operate. We have no more, I do not have another place to put a desk. I've used every closet. I've used everything that was built originally to be a dark room, back in 91 when you actually did film. This is all before digital. The locker rooms are extremely small. Most of the command staff doesn't even use the locker room. They dress at home and go to and from work in uniform because there's just not enough locker room space right now. The female locker room only has 9 lockers. We have 5 female employees. And again, the lockers are made, they're almost like small gym style lockers, not compared to what, lockers are now, in the more modern police stations that are surrounding us now, where there's places for them to put their duty bags and boots and, they have electricity because everything that they have from flashlights to radios are all, rechargeable. So we're trying to, we're looking to gain some space, as we expand and at the same time, modernize the facility. And I think the study will allow us to sit down with professionals and basically tell them, you know, where we are now, where we believe we may be in the next 20, 30, 40 years, and come up with a design that's going to work and be able to, you know, as the police department and the town grows, be able to handle that.
Okay, thank you. I recall when we built the new police station, I thought that that was going, you said 1991 was when we built it?
Yes.
Is that right? 1991. Is there any space there land-wise for us to add on to that station?
The land right now, everything behind the police station from the back parking lot is all wetlands. It's pretty much stream swamp that used to, you know, basically fills up where the sculpture park is now, which used to be the old town pool. So that's all wetlands, as well as to the left side of the building when you're looking at it. The only area really is to the right side of the building is where you'll see the big hill that holds our communications tower. And of course, just beyond that hill is the sculpture park. So there's really not a lot of room for us to expand. If we took out the hill and put the antenna somewhere else and expanded out to the front of the building, the issue would be there'd be no place to park. There's really no other land around it right now. And parking is at a premium, right? It's one of the things I left out. I mean, you know, we've jockeyed around where we put the cruisers and where we have the employees park and so forth. And most of them are still parking out in the front parking lot because the whole entire back parking lot, side parking lot, completely full. And so we've commandeered some spaces out on Panther Way. If you ever go by the station, you may see a few trucks or cars parked there. So I just don't know if the footprint would ever be big enough to expand the building. And I don't believe we can go up, you know, with a second floor on the existing building and at the same time have enough room for the parking as well.
That's what I was going to ask you. Could we possibly go up? And you're not sure, but the study would find out whether we could or not.
I'll be honest. I am not 100% sure. After all the years of talking about it, and we've talked about expansion for probably a decade and a half, Mike would probably be the more apt person to know definitively of whether we can actually put a second floor on it, or if maybe a portion of the building could have a second floor on it. I don't believe the whole thing would be able to do it. That's what I remember, you know, some ideas or some things that had come up in the past that it wouldn't be able to sustain a full second floor. But he'd be able to answer that.
He would answer that. Okay. Thank you. Jamie?
There is, thank you, Madam Chair. So you would not be able to put a second floor on the front portion. What you might be able to do is, as the chief mentioned, if you knocked out the hill in the tower, you could build another two-story next to it as an addition. I think the challenge is always going to be on that site is the wetlands, and it's very limited over there. Another discussion point that we've had is maybe there's a headquarters, you know, somewhere
in a substation,
and then maybe a substation. You know, but that's what the feasibility study does, and that's why we're recommending these monies, because you know we have a lot of smart people here that can do a lot of great things, but having a third party evaluate it independently traditionally does give us a lot of good information and ideas that we've never had before. So instead of us trying to bang it out in a room, you know, try to get a pro in here to look at that. And I think they'll also look at data. They'll look at call volume. They'll look at some of the issues that TJ brought up about staffing. The census this year is going to give us a whole new ream of data to be able to analyze and put into this to look at projections out over the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. So that hopefully we can leave a great legacy, you know, to obviously future generations like that's been done for us before. So it should be an interesting process. I wish there was an obvious answer, but I think it'll be a good study to be able to hash that all out. Thank you.
Thank you, James. Mm-hmm. Any questions from the council? Councilor Kelly?
Who's doing the study?
We're not sure. We have to obviously go out to bid and try to get a deal that we can do.
So,
and to be honest, we've literally not selected a vendor.
I didn't know if we had already looked into it. Okay. Yeah, I was just sitting here listening to yourself and the chairwoman talk and chief talk, and I'm thinking, Wrentham, Norfolk, Millis, Plainville, Needham, and I'm sure I could go on, all have new police stations, yeah. Right? We've built in this town schools, we've built fire departments, we've built
senior centers,
we've built, we've bought a new town hall since this was done. We added on to our library. We've done so many things. And when you drive down Panther Way, that building is already busting at the seams. There's cars parked there from the officers. There's cars across the street, and it's no fault of the officers or the police department. They don't have any space. In order to add on that space, it's a conservation nightmare. You're never going to get that space added on to. So I think looking at a feasibility study of where we can go and where else we could either build another station or a headquarters and go from there and make this our substation is a good idea. I am not a fan of spending money on outside committees telling us what we should do. But in the given the day and age that we're in today, by spending this money for a feasibility study, it's going to allow an outside group to tell us what we need to do versus people within our own community making a decision and getting beaten up for just trying to be good people and trying to help out. So I think the 150 is great. If I don't like the 18 months. I think it should have been done 3 years ago, you know, but that's nothing I can do about that. When it comes time to vote for this, I'll be a yes when it's time for a new station or another station or whatever they need, because I think it's needed badly. So I think this is a great money spent, and this is what exactly the capital should be spent on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I totally agree with Councilor Kelly. In one way to look at it, the 150,000, you know, as long as it's going to, you know, extend us 30, 40 years, that's a great idea. And one way to look at it, even if that's not a substation, that's still going to come back to the town. We can still do something with it, you know. Who knows, recreation committee, who knows, make a boys and girls club, who knows, we can do something with the town. So that's not going to go away. So that's the other way to look at it too. So, but I'm all in favor of this by all means.
Good point. Brian?
I'm just going to reiterate, I've been asking for that money since the last capital. So I'm glad that it's in there now, and get things moving. Like you said, the quicker the better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's for the safety of our guys.
Yeah,
it is.
And in the town.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it's not going to be a hard sell to show that there's no place to expand. I mean, people have talked about maybe moving the building towards the street, but I don't think you can do that and add up and taking parking across the way. It's just a logistical nightmare. And I'd rather get something going for the future. Mm-hmm. So. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And that's why I think it's good that we have a study being done, because they're the ones that are going to have worked with this before. They'll have the answers for us, whereas we don't. So any other questions? No. Okay, we have police station feasibility study, $150,000.
So moved.
Second.
In discussion we've had. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes. Thank you, Chief.
Thanks, Chief.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Brian. Jamie, the budget stabilization policy now. This is the rainy day fund. What are we doing exactly with this section right here?
Through you, Madam Chair. So this section doesn't need approval tonight, because the Finance Committee did not approve it at the meeting. Alicia had done some great work to do some comparables. Last year, the Finance Committee asked for some. They've been pushing me quite a bit, I think, as they should, to try to do more to bolster the Budget Stabilization Fund or the Rainy Day Fund, and to have a little bit more in there. As you know, 2 years ago, we went 3 years ago, I think, the town used up all of its remaining resources. Mm-hmm. Last year, fortunately, we were able to stash away $867,000. This $137,000 that you voted on tonight, if approved by the council, will get us to $1 million. And, you know, the Finance Committee is going to be discussing this on May 19th, 2 weeks from tonight. And we're going to bring some additional research to them. And after they go through the budget policy, then after that, it'll be brought to the full council later, probably in June or I would imagine in June.
In June. Yeah. So now we're at the resolution 2123. And are we voting that tonight?
Yeah. Well, Madam Chair, you already voted them all individually.
Yeah. Individually,
if you
exactly.
want to take another roll call for the whole thing, you can, but you don't need to.
No? Okay, then. Let's see here. Capital plan round two, fiscal year 21 capital plan, $765,547. And that is for everything that we just went over tonight so that the people listening will know that that's what we're voting on without having to read them all again. Okay, so the Finance Committee action on their meeting of 4/27 voted 7-0. And they recommended the whole amount from free cash. So be it moved and voted that the town council, well, no, that isn't for the whole town council. So for us to approve now the $765,547.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? No, I think we had a lot of discussion on everything tonight. Right. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Okay, so the whole amount there passed. That seems like it, right?
Yep. Oh, motion to adjourn, second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, department heads.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. And by the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.